And I want to tell you something, that God has been prepared for your life since the earth has been here. And I want you to know our Father in heaven has not shortchanged not one generation. With the sincerity that he breathed breath into Adam, with the sincerity that he brought Jesus to go through the process of the cross for us to be saved, is the same conviction in which you are alive on the earth today. And I want you to know that God is prepared to meet every moment of your life, and we're excited to be a part of that as we share in all that God wants to do for us. So right now, we're going to take this time to step into worship and let God just touch you today. Feel refreshed. If you're at the end of your workday, just let the Lord refresh you and re-strengthen you, and let his presence just do what only God can do in your life. Amen.
Stand your feet with us tonight.
Praise God. I guess.
You want me to help you find a seat?
Yeah. We're pretty full tonight, so hallelujah. Praise
Amen.
God.
Hallelujah. Come this way. I feel like I'm on the wrong side. I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah.
Amen. So we are at Camp Promise Rock today.
Amen.
Pastor Phil, I've never seen you wear a pair of jeans to preach in my life. Your mother is rolling over and rolling over over.
Hey, not even jeans, but I wore my sneakers tonight now. I got to tell you, I'm really out there on the ledge.
You are a camper.
I'm in danger zone.
You're a camper tonight.
I am a camper. Amen. But you know what? There's a nice little sign that we started with, and it says, do not feed the animals. Well, I got to tell you something. I don't know if you've ever seen that Snicker commercial where when the person's hungry, you don't know what you're going to get. Well, let me tell you something. Thank God that this week we took care of the Vacation Bible School workers by feeding them. And let me tell you something. It was like that food was transforming. So we needed to feed the workers, buddy. As I'm telling you, we would have had to be aware.
Amen.
But anyhow,
that's awesome.
It is awesome to be here with you guys and to just know what God is doing for all of us. And do you got some announcements, babe? I do have a very important announcement. Next Saturday.
The 10th. Right.
Okay, at 12:15, anybody who is interested in doing evangelism and going out to touch people, we're going to do all kinds of things. We got a strategy for the apartments. We got a strategy for the town in general. That Jason's kind of crazy. He believes we should go to the hospital and just, you know, pray for people, whoever they are in the sick beds. Now, you know, your calm, normal pastor would never think of anything like that. But anyhow, we're going to be doing our meeting at 12:15, and we're going to be praying and releasing what we're going to do first in the city this summer and fall, and just be prepared to touch lives. So we want to invite you 12:15 at the new build site. Praise God. We're going to be there.
You'll be able to stand in the actual sanctuary
with
the concrete on it. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
That is pretty cool.
Can you imagine what it's going to be like when I preach out there this week? Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness.
Standing on concrete.
Now listen, they were pouring the concrete.
I have to run the length of the sanctuary.
They were pouring the concrete on the big section today. And we were just standing there watching after we videoed and we finished videoing. And we're just standing there looking. And I'm just getting a glimpses of this thing and what God is doing. And I said, Phil, look right there, because they didn't concrete in where the stage is going to be yet, because that's going to be concreted, but it's going to look different. But I said, look, right in front of that is where people are going to get saved, healed, touched, set free, like changing.
Yes, amen.
Yeah. And so,
are you going to tell the rest of it, how you started crying when you were telling me about it?
Well, I did, but I wasn't going to tell you that.
She's not telling you that she said, oh, my gosh, right here is where people are going to be getting saved. And she just started crying before the Lord. I guess I wasn't supposed to tell that part.
I did good right now. Yes. Sticker. He's going to start crying in a minute. No, I'm just kidding.
I know. Woo,
no, it was pretty cool to see it being laid and to come back, and it was completely done. And just understanding, like, I sat there. And, you know, some of you have been with us the entire time we've had this process going on. And I just sat there and said, man, Lord, this is happening. This is really here. This is going. This is happening. You're doing this. You're doing this. And he's just, even with each moment that it gets bigger out there, vision gets bigger in here.
Amen.
And I'm excited about what God is doing. And I'm excited what this means for people who are lost and broken.
Amen.
And addictions that they can't shake off but Jesus.
Jesus will bring you right
through. Amen. But Jesus. Amen. So I'm excited about that.
Praise God. I'm very excited.
I don't think I have anything, really. I just guess I was just standing up here to match you.
Amen. Look at this. We have had a good day matching and wearing.
I won't tell you who laid out my shirt this morning.
Woo. Hey, this is sometimes, guys, you got to know how to do this thing. So what I did was I laid out a couple options, right? I didn't just leave one shirt. I laid out two different sets of shirts, and I let her pick. Hallelujah. Amen. So she chose these Faith Arise shirts, which is what I really wanted to wear, because I tell you what, sometimes throughout our lives, we're going to have times of victories. We're going to have times of difficulties. And I'm telling you, your answer every time in your most difficult moments is the same answer to how you started the journey. You know, somehow we get in this battle, and we will ask God for something. Hallelujah. You ask God for a spouse. Praise the name of the Lord. You ask God for a job. Praise the name of the Lord. You ask God for salvation. And then you want to grab it, and you want to deposit nothing in it. And then when tragedy starts, then all of a sudden, as a nervous reaction, it's kind of like catching the house on fire, throwing a couple buckets of water on it before you call the fire department. I mean, we just do dumb stuff. And so I want to challenge you to remember, hey, come on, let's preach this thing together. Amen. I want to remind you that you are going to have to let your faith arise. You are going to have to be a people that don't live off of yesterday's stale bread. Listen, I love the sandwich I had yesterday. Praise God. Hallelujah. But that sandwich is gone. And I'm telling you that as a Christian, you can't live off of your salvation where you prayed the prayer of faith 25 years ago. No. I want you to know there's a whole bunch of people that if they don't get their heart stirred up and get themselves in unity with God now, what they had 20, 30 years ago is not going to mean anything when they stand before God. See, I got to be real. Even though it's vacation Bible school night, I've got to be real, and I really want to preach something to you that I think is going to be profound. Hey, yeah, what is that? Oh, my goodness, hallelujah. I was about to say, are you trying to exemplify something? Come stand back up here for a minute, honey. Hey,
look.
What is that? Yeah, exactly. No, I'm just kidding you. Hey, you watch it. Hallelujah, praise God. That's funny. Okay, now listen to me. Because it is vacation Bible school week, they're coming up. When did they want to come back up? Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, very good, very good. You know what? Am I supposed to do offering first? Because I was just going to go right into my message. I think I'm just going to preach first. Then we'll do offering later. Amen? Is that allowed tonight? Okay. Yeah. Hey, I want to share something with you because I think it's really going to speak to us. First of all, I want to tell you that I'm very thankful for everybody that helped us with Vacation Bible School Week. Amen? God bless you. And then I want to say thank you to the parents, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the nieces. Listen, we need to understand the respect and the value of when adults take time to invest in children. And I just want to share something with you tonight because many of you may or may not know the story of Moses in the Bible, but Moses was born to become a deliverer of the world, and the Pharaoh and everybody at that time, really the devil, knew that God was going to give birth to someone who was going to help deliver the people of God. And I just want to tell you something in the Bible here that is hopefully going to speak to you because it speaks to us about the importance of every child. But it also speaks to us about the importance of every person. And it also speaks to us about the importance of who you are today and what's going on in our life today. So I want you to know that Moses was a child that was born to help deliver the people of God. The Pharaoh got wind of this thought and this idea of God having someone to deliver the people. And after Joseph, who was a great man of God, passed away, it talks about how this Pharaoh that did not know Joseph or the people of God or how important they were, he became afraid of the people of God because they were growing in such a great way. Just a minute. So we're going to look at Exodus chapter 2. And it says, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Want to go ahead of that. That's right. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead of that time into Exodus chapter 1, and I want you to see what the Bible says in verse 9. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up and out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasured cities, Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shipra, and the name of the other, I don't know how to say that, P-U-A-H, Pa, I don't know. And he said, when ye do the office of the midwife to the Hebrew women and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, oh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast him into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. I want to speak to you about the profoundness of the Bible and the revelations that God reveals to us. I want you to know that from the first day in the garden, the attack of men has been under siege by Satan. And I tell you what, that in this world in which we live in, whether you like it or not, men being under attack is not only a sign of the devil trying to take authority, but it's also a sign of the devil trying to destroy the kingdom of God. I want you to understand something, that when we look here, we see that this Bible said, that this king said, if any man child be born, I want you to kill him. You know, I want you to understand something, that literally thousands of babies are aborted every month. And I want you to understand that any time you see babies being put to death, you see a sign of Satan's hand trying to rise up to destroy what may be coming to set us free. You know, when we think about the million of children who've been put to death without ever getting an opportunity to live, can you imagine? I wonder if the next Ford company car owner or the man who could develop the next set of what we need in our society, I wonder if they already were aborted before they ever got the chance. I wonder if cancer and diseases rage so much because the gift that was released in a womb never made it to the opportunity to discover the creative thing that they were meant to do. Now listen to me, I want you to know something. I am not being negative towards anybody, because we all make the mistakes of our life that we do because the devil is oppressing us and has charge over us. I want you to know something, that I'm not going to have time to do it tonight, but coming up here, I'm going to preach about the fact that when God assigns children somewhere, it's a divine assignment. I want you to know that Moses' mother had the wherewithal, when her son got big enough that she couldn't hide him, to actually put him in a basket and send him right into Pharaoh. As a mother, she was willing to give up her desire for the benefit of the child. Ooh, I want you to know something, that if we could tonight, we'd go over and read about Hannah. Hannah was a young lady in the book of 1 Samuel who tried to have children and could not. And she went to the temple and she went before God and began to intercede, asking God to give her a male child. And she just prayed and prayed, and she got pregnant with Samuel, who became a great prophet. But I want you to know that the Bible is very specific on how she handled Samuel. She even told her husband, listen, I am going to keep this baby and wean him. And when I do, then I will deliver him to the house of the prophets where God will have the right to bring him up. I want you to understand something. That children, whether you give birth to them naturally or whether you receive them through adoption or any other way, that children end up in your home. I want you to know that it has been an ordained moment where God assigned you to something that he trusted you with. And I want you to know that we can read throughout the Bible and we will find that there was unique ways that babies were fed and cared for. We will also find times like supernaturally for Jesus. Do you know we always talk about Mary and how Mary had the vision and spoke the word and said, hallelujah, oh, I am blessed and highly favored, Lord. The generation shall call me blessed. Well, I'm real glad that we see that and we magnify it, but we cannot deny that Joseph received a dream and knew how to protect his family and when to move his wife Mary and the child Jesus to a place of safety. I want you to understand something, that in today's world, somehow we have got to the point where basically not just children, but humanity is almost treated like any other living thing. Let me tell you something. I love the majestic sight of a big gorilla. I love the profound authority that you see in a raging lion. I love the beauty of a horse when they're running a race or when they're plowing a field or when they're doing anything. I love all those things. I think it's neat when we command our dogs to do this and they shake our hand and they can roll over and they can go hunt. That's what I used to love, them hunting dogs that could fetch them pheasants and them ducks when we shot them down. Because I was like, bring me dinner, Daisy. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I want you to understand something. Even though these creatures are wonderful, do you know that only humanity can keep the earth? Do you know that you're never going to tame a lion and stop him from being a wild beast until one of those skinny little guys with the little stick and all that training him in the circus do it? Is that crazy? Now that I've seen how big a lion is, I thought, what is that little guy training him for? He could eat him in two bites. But you know, only humanity can actually cultivate life on the earth. And I want you to understand something, that when we think about children, I'm asking you and letting you know that as a man or a woman of God, it's not just the children that are in your home. Do you understand that in your community, if you would pray, in your life, if you would just make room to care about the things of God, you have faith to release protection over humanity and all kinds of things. And I tell you what, men and women, I'm talking to you right now, that the biggest responsibility you're going to have when you stand before God is not how much money you had in the bank, not how well your name was known, but what did you do to influence human life? Now, we're talking about children, but I'm telling you right now, you have a responsibility to the males and the females that come across your life. There ought to be an identification whereby someone can say that your hand in their life brought them value, faith, blessing, kindness, and a touch that moved them towards God. And I'm telling you, if that's not your story right now, I would be rewriting mine. I want you to see here that the very fact that this king was willing to kill children to protect what he thought he had at that time lets you know the fear Satan has about your life. See, here's what I want you to understand something. Some of us, since we were children, have been mistreated. Some of us did not have great father or mother relationships. Some of us may have been adopted. Some of us may have been through the foster children program. Some of us may have had parents that were alcoholic, abusive, and all those kinds of things. But I want you to know that you survived those things not because you should feel that God doesn't love you and you've always been hated. Come on. You survived those things because God knew what was in you, and God still has absolute faith that you're going to right the ship. You're going to discover him. And in your salvation, you're going to bring the business to life. Woo, praise God. I want you to know something, that I can go throughout the stories. We would even find that Moses rose up in a fit of anger and actually did an act that was wrong within itself. But we will also see that God took Moses through the process of reconditioning him. And when he came out in his final nature of who he was able to stand before Pharaoh and say, let God's people go. I'm telling you that you might not ever preach to the multitudes, or you might not ever stand in front of a Pharaoh, but I'm telling you that in your life, God is looking around at the circle of people you touch, and he's asking, will you stand among them and be a guiding light that speaks, devil, let these people go? Will you support the people that God brings around your life? Listen to me, I'm telling you that this Pharaoh was willing to kill children. You know, it says that oftentimes when he was killing, he started killing any child, just like when Jesus was born. They started killing any child that was 3 years or younger. I hate to say it, but it puts me in mind of some of these abortion policies we have now, where a child can be born and then you can kill that child. Listen, these are demonic things. These are evilly influenced things. And I'm telling you that this also speaks to us to understand this, that no matter where you started your journey at, God was looking for this day and this moment. God was looking for the time that we would open our heart and say, Lord, so far in life I've tried this on my own, hasn't went so well. So from this day forward, I want to humbly give myself to you, God, and try it your way. Say that with me, your way.
Your way.
Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to know, in any other arena of your life, even in the kingdom of God, you get to choose things. I mean, you get to choose. Now, the real good thing about God is, he will show you the outcome of your choice before it happens. Hallelujah. But you still get to choose. But here's what you don't get to choose. You don't get to choose to change the outcome of what God told you the outcome was going to be, just because it feels good to you. See, in the kingdom of God, it's either God's way or no way. It's either do it your father's way, or you're going to end up not just stubbing your toe, you're going to eventually end up ruining and destroying your life. Now see, if you want to get to choose it your way and do it your way, before you come to church, stop at Wendy's, stop at Burger King, stop at McDonald's, and tell them how you want the food prepared. But when you come to the house of God, me and you are going to get out of the way, and the Holy Ghost is going to bring out of my big yapper what we need. And we're going to eat our vegetables, we're going to eat our fish, we're going to eat our steak, we're going to eat whatever God tells us, and we're going to like it. See, you don't get the benefit of tithing without tithing. And God cannot show up in your life. The Lord says that if you want to see God, then God says this in my word. Be ye holy as your Lord is holy. Because without holiness, no man shall see God. Hello, that's not just when we get up to heaven. No, that's talking about right here in this life. Don't be coming to me with tears running down your face and thinking that you're going to get an answer from God that I can agree with if you got a whole bunch of sin and mess going on in your life. I'm telling you, God will forgive you for going to the bar on Saturday, cussing, fussing, and living wrong. But it ain't going to come in on Sunday morning and wipe all your problems away. He's going to stir you. He's going to convict you. He's going to challenge you and say, listen, son and daughter, I love you, but we got to fix all this and we can run our race together. You see what I'm saying? What I want you to know is that there has never been a child born that God did not have a plan for. 1 Timothy 2 says that God himself said, it is my absolute will that every person on the earth would be saved. Listen, I don't care how lonely you felt in life. I don't care how rejected you felt. I don't care if your parents didn't do you right. I don't care if it was an uncle, a cousin. I don't care if it was a teacher that was mean to you. I don't care if you got bullied. I don't care if you made your own mistakes. And every time we put our foot in the wrong place it should be in, it does not matter, because your Father from heaven says that all I want of you is to love me like I've loved you. And if we will step towards God, then we can step towards the future in a great way. Listen to me, I want you to know something. God gave every one of us an identity when we came from our mother's womb. He made us and created us. We have to be careful that in today's world, have you seen how much the identity of children is under attack? Listen to me, I love you, but when I look at a baby, I look at the baby on the first day, and I can proclaim what that baby is. Hallelujah. I don't need to wait 3 years of all kinds of stupid clothes and all kinds of stupid stuff and all kinds of stupid thinking to know what a baby is. Amen? I'm going to raise up a male child, or I'm going to raise up a girl child, and I'm going to declare that God has blessed us with an extraordinary creation, and there is no limit to what that baby can do if we bathe that baby in the ways of the Lord. Amen? Now listen to me. I want to challenge you tonight, because we're having vacation Bible school. And God has just trusted us with so many children this week. It has been wonderful. It has been wonderful. And I want you to know something, that whether you have children personally or not, God still believes in you to be an influence on them. I want you to know something, that you as an individual, I thank God for you. I thank God for these opportunities. I thank God for the prayers and for the love and the mercy that will allow our children to have these moments of joy and peace and to be touched by the goodness of God in a way that they could not if you would not come together in His name. You understand that? I'm telling you that when you get a group of children shouting like they were earlier, declaring scripture like they were earlier, listen to me, it's going to give them a great confidence in who they are and what God has for their life. Amen? And I want to thank each and every one of you that are in pursuit of the Lord and the pursuit of His destiny to change your life to be a blessing to other people. Amen? I want you to know that there is no other creature on earth that was trusted with the lives of everything else on earth. No other creation has ever been given the mandate of mankind. Isn't it amazing that in order for the earth to work from the very beginning of the garden till now, God had to join His love and faith with mankind, and mankind had to join His love and faith towards earth? Could God have named every creature? Why didn't He? Because He assigned that to Adam. Amen? I want you to know something. The words you speak over the lives of other people and the words you speak about what you're going to do, listen, I'm telling you, it's going to determine life or death on this earth. Listen, I want you to know something, that your spouse is a strong individual. But with your love and your support and unity with them, they can become extraordinary beyond who they would be by themselves. That's both men and women. Listen, your child is strong and resilient. But if you create an atmosphere of peace and safety, your child will have no limit of what they can become. Amen? And I'm telling you right now that God is asking you, what will you do? What will you be? Because your voice can live beyond even your natural life on this earth. I want you to know that last night I was in another church service and I had the pleasure of praying with a group of people. And one of the ladies says, oh my gosh, she says, tonight I do not have a prayer request, but I do have a praise report. And I said, what is it? She said, you know, I have been praying for my daughter to get saved for more than 20 years. And I want you to know that tonight before I came to church, she says, I was talking to her and my son-in-law, and they just moved into their new house, and they just let me know what they found their new church in the city that they just moved into. Come on. Now, I'm telling you that you give the Lord a hand. See, I want you to know that your protection for your children started when they were yet in the womb. But I also want you to know that even if you live 15, 20, 30, 40 years of your life without God, it is not too late for you to supernaturally turn everything around and still see God fulfill his will on this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, I tell you what, I didn't know that I was going to be getting so deep on a night where we're celebrating Vacation Bible School. Amen. And I know they might not even be ready yet, because they're probably going to be surprised that I got done this early. But we're going to let those children come. And if they're not ready yet, we'll go ahead and just take up our offering. Amen. Are you ready to take up an offering tonight? Listen, sometimes I like these moments because I'm not going to preach to you about an offering tonight. I want you to just come and give out of your relationship with God and your love for him, and out of your conviction of what God's promises and what God's word says for your life. Amen? Listen, I want you to know, ultimately, I can preach this gospel and you can go to church, but it does not change the fact that at the end of time, the Lord says that you have to come and your faith will be reviewed by God and determine the fruits thereof. Amen? Woo, we must study to show ourselves approved, praise God. Hallelujah. Listen to me, I want you to know something. You guys really need to know this. Children assigned to your life, biologically, foster care-wise, or adoptive-wise, you didn't get those babies by happenstance. God chose you. God looked at everything around, and he chose you. I believe that God does that about husbands and wives. He evaluates and he chooses. And he puts you together because he sees your God potential. You have not received a child because it's too tough for you. You received the child because you have in you what it takes to go to God and bring them to the place that he has for them. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just declare your glory tonight. Father, I pray over this offering. I ask us to bring it forward. And Lord, at this time, I move out of the way, and we're just going to finish with what the children may have to say tonight, Father. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Bring your offering forward.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll sing one of mine. We will run and not be weary. We will walk and we'll not faint. For the Lord will go before us, and his joy will be our strength. Mounting up with wings as eagles, as the spirit starts to soar, and we come into his presence, and we wait upon the Lord, and we will wait, woo, upon the Lord. For in his presence is fullness of joy, woo, and our strength will be restored as we wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. Now you know why I preach instead of sing. Are the kids ready? Huh? Did you? I heard someone say amen. I heard someone say amen, Pastor. Praise God. They got used to this. I finished early tonight. Usually they're used to having to wait. Hallelujah. I can see head shaking to that. Amen. They're like, yeah, we agree. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, do we have any testimonies by anybody while we're waiting tonight? Or does anybody just want to declare something? Anybody just want to say something? Hallelujah. Praise God. You guys really want me to keep talking? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Boy, this is really unusual. They're probably out there saying, what? He's done? He's done? Whew. Hey, if you guys didn't get to see our video or our updates today, not only did our concrete get poured and finished today, but they actually started putting the building siding up. And so one of the walls is partially up. They have doors. It was funny because Brother Carol and I was talking right before church, and he said that he was out there, and they were putting our doors up. And, I mean, there's no walls or nothing. So he said he almost walked over and said, hey, make sure those are locked before you go. That would have been hilarious. I love it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I know. What? Oh, I'm sorry. That was a good tell, though. That was funny. That was hilarious. Because I thought the same thing. I actually went up there today and tried to open the door, and it was locked. I said, okay, well, I guess I'll just step under the rail here then. Hallelujah. But it's kind of amazing. God has been so faithful. Yeah. I gotta remind you guys on Sunday what the Lord said to me. I'm going to use that story I told you about the lady that waited 20 years, and I'm going to use our building on Sunday for my message. I mentioned it last week, but I'm probably going to talk a little bit more about that this week, and it's going to lead us right into our great subject. Who is enjoying our subject on Sundays that we're teaching about? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. I love to eat, brother. Praise God. I'll tell you right now, you might not know this story, but when I first got saved, buddy, I was mean, angry, used to fight and stuff all the time. And then I got saved, and I started saying, man, this is so peaceful. And I was reading that word, and then I read where the Lord made the disciples fish on the seashore. I said, boy, I get salvation, peace, and I get to eat too. This salvation stuff is for me. I'm all in. Hallelujah. Sign me up. Praise God. I tell you what, I wonder if I've ever missed a church meal since I was a little boy. I don't know. I'm telling you. But I'm telling you, we used to cook all the time, and I just love it. So, is this beautiful? Sister Vicky just said she's just amazed at all this stuff. And I want you to know what's so powerful. We not only have this stuff, but we got it downstairs too. And here's what Pastor Jared was sharing with me, is that he just asked the leaders of each age group to just come up with what they saw for this. And I'm telling you, it just all fit together beautifully. It's powerful. I was up here looking. I like to, you know, sneak around and check out a little. Oh, whoa. I'm telling you, you don't know what, you got to be careful because there might be bears and all kinds of stuff around here. Hallelujah. 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 Well, it looks like we are ready. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look, I think I'm prepared too, guys. I'm going with you on the journey.
All right. Thank you, Pastor Phil. All right, guys, come on up here. I'm going to set this right here. Come up here and fill in for us. No. Oh, you guys are standing. You're facing the people. Let's go. Get up here. Come on. Fill in over here, big guys. Let's go. Come on, filling in. You guys got more than what you bargained for, I know. Okay, big kids, spread on out to the side. They bring in the K1 group from out there. We had a great testimony this week. We've had the most successful vacation Bible school ever in our 9-year history of doing VBS. We had record-setting numbers most of the nights this week. We got up to 51 at our peak. So we finally broke the 50 mark. We've been believing God for 9 years to do so. So we had 50 last night, 47 tonight, 47 on Monday night. And so every night, man, and these kids have been doing awesome all week long. So we want to give God a praise and thank him for that. And as they come gather up here, I just want just to briefly go over what we've done this week at Vacation Bible School. These kids have learned every night. We had campfire stories right over here with an almost real campfire. Pastor Gina was warming herself. Okay. And then we've had cool crafts under the stars downstairs where they made awesome things to remind them. We've had the party picnic area where they've ate good. All week long they've ate good. They've been blessed. We've had recreation. I know the hearts of our pastors. So every night they've went home with a goodie bag with candy and treats and a take-home prize and their crafts and all that stuff. And out there was recreation time where we played games, okay? And so these kids just, we would just run them through all these stations every night. But what they learned this week as we were finding truth in the great outdoors was on Monday night. We started on Sunday night. And the very first night we learned that fishing for people and the truth that we had there, because every night we're finding truth in the great outdoors. So Sunday night was fishing for people. Well, we learned that Jesus wants us to tell others about him. And they have the best news in all the universe, and they can't keep it to themselves. Like he called the disciples, he's called them to be fishers of people. And we did some fishing things with that. And then on Monday night, we talked about take a hike. Everybody say, take a hike. All right, and that's not meaning it rude. Don't take it personal. We're actually not talking to you. We're talking about ourselves to take a hike with Jesus, to separate ourselves, to find a quiet place, and to spend time in prayer. That Jesus wants us to talk to him, right? All right, and then on Tuesday night, we talked about, everybody say, who's in my boat? All right, and we told the story of the disciples going out in the boat and how Jesus fell asleep on them. But he was still there with them, all right? And so you got to think about who's in your boat. Is Jesus the captain of your ship, or is the devil? Are you putting good influences around you to surround yourself to help you make right decisions, or are they negative influences? So we talked about who's in their boat. And then last night we talked about swimming on the top. You guys say swimming on the top. And we talked about how Jesus wants us to trust him. And he won't let us sink. We talk about how Peter stepped out on the boat, out of the boat, into the winds, into the waves, and came towards his Savior. Jesus wants us to take steps of faith towards him. Now, we know the saying, come on out, the water's fine. But that was not the case, and Jesus never promises that. But what he wants us to do is take a step towards him in faith. And as we do, even if we get distracted for a second, even if circumstances start to bring us down, as soon as we stretch out our hand, the Bible says that immediately Jesus stretched his hand out and saved him and brought him back up. And they walk together onto the boat. And that's what Jesus wants to do for us. He will not let us sink. He is the best lifeguard. He has a particular set of skills which allow him to be the best, the most qualified lifeguard ever, right, for us. All right, tonight we talked about s'more of Jesus, all right? And we talked about how s'mores are like a camping rite of passage. We talked about how to eat them. We talked about Trey almost donated one to me, okay? And so we talk about seeking first the kingdom of God, not to be worried about what we're wearing, how much video game time we get, what we're going to eat, but instead trade those thoughts in for thoughts about Jesus and the kingdom, all right? And about Jesus is actually our greatest need. We need him the most. We need some more of Jesus every day, and then he'll take care of all the rest, all right? So that's what we've learned about this week, every night, all right? So let's give God a hand clap of praise. We've had memory verses, we've had truths, and we've had stories of Jesus, okay? Now, we've also had some great times of praise and of worship. And we want to invite you guys to join with us. We're going to do a song of praise, and we got motions. So if you guys need to kind of step out towards the row of chairs and turn around so you guys can see, you guys can do that. But we're going to do a song of praise that we've done all week long, and then we're going to end worshiping all together as a church. Because I've encouraged these guys that they're not too young to be great worshipers, to be totally in love with Jesus, and to make this their church too. So we're going to do it together as a church. So let's go ahead and let's fire up our praise song. Okay, guys, scoot back a little bit so you can see. Scoot back a little bit so you can see. Go ahead. Get up there so you can see. Yeah, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise. Now, I'm going to have to make the adults stand to their feet and join with us because it's our time to worship together. We have done two songs. They're not that long, but these kids have really begun to give their hearts to Jesus and worship and sing them out. Okay, some of you guys actually may recognize them. They're actually maybe like older or more classic children's church songs, but they're very powerful. So I invite you guys to worship right along with us. Okay, guys, let's sing our hearts out. Let's give our hearts to Jesus. Let's raise our hands towards him. As we talked about last night, we gave our whole hearts to Jesus. Jesus stands at the door of our heart and he knocks. And we want to open it up and let him in, but not just in the foyer, but into every room of the house. We want Jesus to have free reign. So we got to reach towards him and give our heart to him and worship tonight. Amen.
Tell him how much we love him tonight.